Big, couldn't be done, we got it done. And today we're finally ending the NAFTA nightmare and signing into law the brand new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
The agreement will not go into effect until Canada ratifies it. Over 200 Americans are back from Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus outbreak began. The government chartered a plane evacuating them. They continued on to Southern California after everybody on board passed a health screening test in Anchorage, Alaska. China reports over 130 people have died so far from the virus. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
A Jewish super PAC is going after Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders over health and other concerns. With more, here's USA's Chris Barnes.
The Democratic majority for Israel's new ad campaign, which is now running in Iowa, questions the 78-year-old's electability and points to his heart attack last fall. It features voters expressing concerns about Sanders and his health and ability to beat President Trump.
I doubt if Bernie Sanders can beat Trump.
I like Bernie. I think he has great ideas. But Michigan, Pennsylvania, Iowa, they're just not going to vote for a socialist.
I do have some concerns about Bernie Sanders' health.
Sanders has released doctor's notes indicating that he has the mental and physical vigor to take on the presidency. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
After a few days of weather delays, SpaceX has launched a Falcon 9 rocket, putting 60 Starlink satellites into orbit. They say there'll be dozens more for their new internet service. The Falcon's first stage landed safely on a barge in the Atlantic, the third time it's flown in less than a year. The company hopes to fly astronauts to the International Space Station as soon as this spring. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said the company will need at least 400 satellites in orbit to provide minimal coverage and at least 800 to provide moderate coverage. With this launch, the private spaceflight company is over halfway to the minimal coverage mark and says service could begin sometime this year. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
And once again, it is time for the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. Ready we are. Let's take this thing and run.
We are running. I'm telling you, folks. Listen, I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. Ludwig, are we Facebook streaming?
Yes, we are.
I wonder if there's audio. I always
there
wonder.
Is
there?
Yeah.
Hot dog. Listen, Miles Bauer, I got to ask you, how do you say this guy's name? Is it Avenatti? Am I saying it right?
Avenatti, yeah.
And Biden rips him off. Biden just can't get himself out of the plagiarist mode. Serious.
But see, actually, that phrase came up during the RNC in 2016. It was started by Scott Baio, the actor.
So Scott Baio took it from way back when. And
right.
Biden liked Scott Baio so much that he...
No, I'm saying Avenatti got it from Baio.
I get it.
And then Biden got it from Avenatti.
So Avenatti and Biden, no matter how we paint this, are not exactly original.
Right.
Folks, you ever been on retread tires? I have. That's that's what I think of whenever I think of Biden, is retread tires. Ludwig, what are you doing? You're concentrating terrible over there.
It's been a while since I've had to share this thing all over the place.
I'm wondering if there's any audio on it still.
They might have muted you, but there is.
Just because I said your name and they knew you were up next.
No, they actually turned it up then. They had their CCs on just so they can know when I'm coming.
Just Tom Martini. He's the only one that said it.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see how many streams get from the Ludwig page.
I'm seeing there's a few people watching. That scares me because we know what you'll do to us. All right. Before we move on from Biden, what do you think?
Biden? Man, you would think that guy, well, he probably needs to plagiarize so he's not doing or saying something stupid. So if he's already got something pre-written, it's better than him going off the cuff, because when he does that,
he's a gaffe machine.
Talks about putting people in chains. And
yep, he's definitely a gaffe machine. Listen, when I look at the numbers, and I'm taking these numbers from Des Moines Registry, they've got, well, I think everybody has got Biden out in front on the Democratic nomination pursuit. But when I look at the folks immediately behind him, Bernie Sanders, Pocahontas, Buttigieg, how do you say his name, Miles Bauer?
Yes,
Buttigieg.
Nice job. I thought for sure he was going to do it.
Oh, man.
I did. I thought for... So, Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, your girl. Those are the folks that are actually polling. But if you look at the math, Biden's at 24, Bernie's 16, Pocahontas 15, Buttigieg 14, and Kamala's at 7. I think Kamala, to your point all along, has probably got the most organized campaign. And the problem that Biden has is that if any one or two of these people in the top five drop out, he himself, his numbers are going to crash and burn.
I don't know.
They're dividing up the far left amongst them. He's trying to be the centrist. I'm just telling you.
Is he? Because he's out talking about Medicare for All and everything now.
He's just recently switched boats on that. But he's tried to leave himself some room to come back in the general, because he thinks he's a winner.
Yeah. Now, the word I read was that Obama's going to give him the machine.
Well, I think Obama, is my Freudian slip. I think Obama has already given him the machine.
Well, then he'll have the best working campaign there is.
What's that, Miles?
I think Obama's laying low intentionally.
I agree with that, but I think... well, let's pause there for a minute. Why do you think... What would motivate Obama to lay low?
Because I think he's going to wait for the dust to settle. You remember, what was it, a couple weeks back when he wrote that op-ed, I think, about let's not turn this into a circular firing squad?
But that's what's going to happen. That's the nature of politics. And, folks, we saw it on the Republican side. You get folks spending millions of dollars for the biggest office in at least Western culture. And listen, they take this game serious. This is an aw shucks I lost.
Yeah,
I just think that Obama has intentionally not endorsed Biden. Because I think Obama's laying low until some of the dust settles.
Biden said he didn't want it.
Well, yeah, but that was laughable. One of the things you've said, Miles, that this is what I'm assigning to former President Obama. One of the things you said about Biden was frankly very politically astute. I didn't hear it from anybody else, but that he's peaked too early. And I think you're exactly right. He has peaked too early. The first handful of Democrat primaries are very far left. Ludwig, that goes to your point. That's exactly why he's trying to put a foot in both buckets, because he's got some far left races in front of him. And the moment he trips up, the media, I don't think the media likes him.
I think the most intense and probably scary thing about this election period is that a candidate actually has to go that far left. Like I had asked you guys earlier, can you imagine a time when you were my age, and I know it was decades ago, so try to think back, that a candidate came out as a Democratic Socialist and even stood a chance? Even just 4 years ago, they didn't.
I don't know what you meant about the "it was a long time ago" part, but I can tell you.
Forgot already?
I did. I can tell you this, though. There was a time in Miles and Brian and my life where if a Democrat candidate said that I'm a liberal, it was the kiss of death.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly was the kiss of death to say you're a liberal. And now they're saying, forget liberal, I'm not a liberal. Somebody must have showed them the definition of liberal, which is liberty from an overwhelming and tyrannous government. Jefferson was a liberal. They're not. They're socialists. And here they are saying, I'm a socialist. But that's not the scary part. The scary part is the millions of people that are going, great, I love socialists.
Yeah, but that's the point, is that we went that far in such a short period of time. This isn't hundreds and hundreds of years where we just gradually trickled. This is from FDR on.
What changed it? Did Obama change it? Did the internet change it?
I think it's the internet.
What about cable news, 24/7 divide us all news?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think it's the internet. Anybody has a voice and it can be true.
Your generation doesn't watch the news.
No, it's instant. If it's in the newspaper, that's history.
Yeah.
I think education. I think that if you went up and you asked those people to define socialism, you would get some pretty wacky answers.
I agree. And whenever, folks, I'm not going to get on the education rant, I promise you. But part of the ingredient to how did we come from I can't identify as a liberal to I'm a Marxist, folks, I'm not being shrill. I'm talking about just the definition of the words. How do we get from I can't say I'm a liberal to I'm a Marxist in one generation? Now, I would go exactly to the word that you just identified, Miles Bauer, and that is education. Because the education that I got in the 60s in elementary school is not the education that my grandchildren are getting in their schools. And that's not to say all of it's bad.
But the ones your grandkids are getting aren't even the ones your daughters and myself
absolutely
got.
Absolutely agree with that.
It's changed so much in our 20 years.
Yep, absolutely agree with you on that. It's changed. And what do I always say? Abe Lincoln, the philosophy in the classroom of one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm real close. And that tells you, if you think right now it's bumpy, you better strap in, because it's going to get way, way, way worse.
Yeah, we got a presidential candidate now talking about revolution on the stump, and you're like, what? Can you imagine?
Who was that?
Bernie. This is a political revolution. Well, we have to take over.
But listen, he's saying the same thing we've been saying for several years on this show. Folks, we are engaged in a cold civil war.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give Bernie kudos for at least being honest, because we are.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it somewhere during the show today. But I've said all along there can't be a civil war because the divide runs through families, cousins and brothers. And
it did back then, though. Brothers shot brothers.
But listen, it did. But the other thing that you're seeing right now is coalition within the states. The states that are liberal are going more liberal. The states that are conservative are going more that. Listen, folks, stay with us because we've got to take a break and we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear, top shelf Rothko outerwear, first aid, and the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family-owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible. And today, the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And thank you for joining us during the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. We are just getting started.
We are absolutely just getting started. Listen, guys, I want to change direction for just a little bit, and we'll go back to politics. But I want to talk about business. One of the things I'm wanting to do with the show going forward is to add a segment each week that deals directly with business management and including employees' vantage point along with employers' vantage point. Ludwig, you've got a business management master's, is that right?
Yeah, MBA in strategic management.
In strategic management.
Yeah, it's a new way of doing things.
Ah, that scares the bejeebers out of me.
The old management style was put it in place and just let it ride. The new style is we put it in place and we actually make changes before the plan's supposed to be over.
Yeah. So Miles, I got to stop him. Let me switch to Miles. What's your MBA in?
I just have a master's in business administration.
But not strategic management?
Correct.
Old school. We try to prevent things from ending up like GM and Chrysler, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, folks, what I'm slowly talking about is that each week going forward, and by the way, I'm going to blame this on my sister Brenda, because she's talked about the show for years and said, listen, whenever you guys, not just us three, but the media, she started with Bill O'Reilly, and that tells you a while back, and it's her comments really ring true to me. Tell me what all of that means to me. How does it, $23 trillion this and $20 billion that, and this person did this, and what's it mean to me? Now, listen, so it caused me to stand back and think, is there a way that we can use this show to try to help both sides of a different coin, both the employees and the employers? I've done a lot of training in my time, and one of the things that I found, by the way, folks, both in politics and in business, is that whenever it doesn't work, the number one culprit, 100% of the time, the number one culprit was a lack of communication. And it's astounding when you say, wow, I've looked at 83 different cases of failure, and in every single one of them, there was an interruption or a binding of communication.
Oh.
And so I want to start working on that. And listen, I want to work on it so much so that I've organized an event, and I'm going to start doing the events throughout the Rust Belt states. The first one of those events will be in Grayling, Michigan, July 16th. It's an all-day event, begins at 9 in the morning, goes till 5 at night. And I'm looking to invite both employees and employers, and we're going to work on things like, how do you communicate? Are there different methodologies to communicate? I did some consulting for a while. I'd go out to different places. A lot of times, especially with Small Business America, it was a handful of people that started something and it grew and they were successful, but they never evolved and developed their plan to grow with their increased business. And some of them are just natural instincts. For instance, there'll be some employers that say, well, I don't want to do a review. Then the person will want a raise. Well, listen, I've heard that a lot in my career. The problem with it is that every survey that I have ever seen scores above pay raise is acknowledgement and recognition, and tell me where I'm at, both good and bad. Employees want to know, tell me where I'm at, good or bad. And so what we'll be teaching are things like, how do you communicate that? And by the way, it's just an Excel sheet. There's no big secret to it. It's a really easy thing, but you got to actually do it. So it's the quest that I'm on is to help employees and employers get passionate about what they do. And I'm pretty ginned up about it. Miles, what's your view of this topic?
Well, normally how I've experienced it in the past is at the beginning of a given year, you and the employee sit down, you come up with common, measurable, not squishy goals, goals that you can actually measure and that they aren't fluffy, like I said, good morning every day.
So Ludwig is not welcome in those meetings.
Right. So Lud would have to dial down the squishiness.
Yeah, Mr. Squishy.
And then basically, you know, quarterly or weekly, whatever your management style is, you would just go back and revisit this so that when you do finally get to the end of your annual review, there should be no surprises because
right.
You had that dialogue periodically throughout the year.
Sure. Now, in my life, where I've had to fire somebody, and by the way, typically when you fire somebody, it's because you made a hiring mistake. It's not, the firing is the result of a mistake at hiring. And literally, and part of the problem that I'm really looking for you to, with technical backgrounds, to say, is there another path? But when I look at employer problems right now, which means their employees have an equal share of the problem, I think that's often not considered. Part of it is how are we hiring people nowadays? So it used to be if you wanted a job, you went out and you knocked on 67 doors and the 68th person said you're hired. Now you spend an hour and a half entering some nonsense into a computer screen that nobody looks at except for some computer worm. And listen, the problem with it is that employers in the last decade are seeing a downturn in finding the people that they want. Well, it's not a coincidence because they're not looking for those people anymore. They're looking for a software program.
Yep.
These are the things that I'm wanting to address, and it's not, by the way, like you'd say, I'm a dinosaur and I want to get rid of technology. I don't. But I want to say, is there a better way to use the technology than what we're doing? Is there a better process? For instance, if you're a company that's looking for customer satisfaction, but you're not focused on employee satisfaction, you're probably not going to have it happen for you.
Yeah.
It's just those are the things that we're going to be addressing, both in the show a little bit. Don't misunderstand me, folks. I can't get off the political pony because I'm that's who I am. But the other thing that burns in me is to make systems work. And so that's kind of the direction I'm wanting to at least take a little bit of every show. Lud, what's your thought? scary as that is to ask.
I love the idea. This is what I do daily. I teach management, teach ethics, business. I'm an entrepreneur, economics, all these things, because it is what I love. I coach, because to me, coaching or being a manager is training. And I want to share the knowledge that I have with people. I want to share the mistakes I've made with other people so they don't make them and help them advance. My favorite thing is, and why I like being where I'm at as a coach now at the high school level, is I'm going to watch kids that I'm training at a peak point in their life
sure.
grow, and they can move on to a better opportunity. As a teacher at the university level, one of my favorite students I've ever heard back from, he messaged me. He's from Tennessee. He started his lawn care company. And he had talked about wanting a business. One of the questions I always ask is, who wants to start a business? And he messaged me about like 2 years later and says, hey, I got 30 accounts. I'm like, really? First year? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, I just want to let you know I would have never done this without having you inspire me in your class. That's huge.
So he's going to end up in bankruptcy court, and it's your fault.
No, because that's the next best thing. He's got 60 accounts already this year.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's doubled his accounts in less than 2 years.
Good for him. Listen, some of the things, Lud, that I think you'll love is the concept of you don't manage people, you manage numbers, you coach people.
Yeah.
And that's such a misnomer. It's the old story about the guy that looks out his window down on the floor when things are good. You son of a guns are lucky you've got me, and when things are bad, you riding son of a guns.
Yep.
People got to get beyond that. It reminds me of the traffic jam I got stuck in coming in today, where I don't know why it's a traffic jam. I call it a stupid jam. Because they got this group of people that wait to the extreme last second, and then they're angry because the group of people that patiently waited are where they should be. So you got the group that wants to take a cut. You got the group that's just as hard-headed. I'm not letting you in, you rotten son of a gun. And then we all sit there, and it's a stupid jam. And I see that in business a lot, and I think there's ways of dealing with it. Listen, we're going to go back to politics after this break, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In the Senate impeachment trial for President Trump, they're now in the Q&A phase. New Mexico Democrat Tom Udall says the Senate has yet to take on the issue of witnesses, including John Bolton.
Well, will you go back and forth on these witnesses? Why don't we let the Chief Justice rule on relevancy and materiality? And I've been working with Chris Van Hollen. We had a motion to that effect. I think we should put that motion up, number one, right behind the vote on the witnesses. And we should say, let's let the Chief Justice rule.
Republican senators are now trying to find a way to deal with the fallout from John Bolton's forthcoming book. The White House has issued a letter to him looking to block the publication of the former National Security Advisor's book, which accuses the president of wrongdoing. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
And you are hearing the Mike Hewitt Show, proudly brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. You ought to take a look there if you haven't yet, or even haven't yet lately, or maybe haven't even yet today. Take a look at RenegadeRiver.com.
It's incredible how when he reaches this part in the show, he just has a sudden wave of brilliance hit him.
Okay. See, even the computer thought so.
I heard the ding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, folks, first off, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedendorski. You got your little buddy with you?
No.
What's the new one? You got Teletubbies? Or
Teletubbies.
Something? You see that, Miles? Now he's traded in his little buddy for Teletubbies?
Yeah, I saw that.
More multicultural.
I'm reading CBS News, folks. In the 1990s, their headline, not mine. In the 1990s, Joe Biden said William Barr was one of the best attorney generals.
Not shocked.
I don't get how the folks don't pay attention to this stuff, and I'm not trying to be facetious or it's just like Chucky Schumer and Comrade Pelosi that used to say exactly what Trump is saying about the southern border. Now they say the opposite. And you go, why is nobody... Obama said the same thing that Trump is saying about the southern border.
Yeah.
I get why they're liars. I'm not questioning why are they liars. That's who they are. Biden is a documented liar. And it's not like normally, because usually when I hear the word lie in politics, it angers me. Not literally, irritates me. That's a better word. If we disagree, that doesn't mean you're a liar. It just means we disagree. In the case of Biden, he's a liar.
Yeah.
He's a documented liar. Yeah. But I don't get the folks, by the way, on either side of the aisle that will just forgive these people taking 180-degree turns because they put their wet finger in the air and it said, oh, you should go in a different direction. Leave your character and principles behind you. I'm disgusted by it, by the folks that are okay with it, because getting a D to victory is more important than the truth.
And they'll say the same thing about us.
But I've been saying that throughout my little rant here.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the point where we look at our D's and our R's, like if you were someone supporting Michigan State and the other person supporting U of M, and you don't even care about anything else. It's just getting your team to win.
Yep.
Nothing else matters. It's like it's more important than that. I'm sorry.
Well, if Barr would have came out and said, yes, we're going to indict Trump,
then they loved him.
They would have loved him. Every other right would have said, we hate him. Burn him.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
We're at that polarization of a level right now.
I don't know. Miles Bauer, what do you think on that topic, my friend?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's win at all costs. Regardless, because they can always talk their way out of it later via spin.
I agree with that, but what's the point in fighting hard if you're fighting to support somebody that you know going in is either lying to you now or will lie to you later. How much of a check do you want to write to Biden when you know up front this guy is a documented liar?
But they aren't viewing it that way. The people that are considering Biden has adopted the anybody but Trump mantra.
And that's probably true, but do you think it's the same thing with the Buttigieg folks and the Pocahontas folks? Aren't they all just on whatever? And to your point all along, Kamala Harris checks more of the boxes. And all of that, though, is aimed at just beating Trump. And the actual issues, and I'm not attacking Democrats. I'm not trying to be partisan. But if you go out to just do the person on the street Democrat interview, tell me the top issues. Beating Trump. No, issues, plural. I get that you want him out. What are the issues that are driving you? You know global warming is a lie. You just saw a report where the iceberg are 25% greater now than it was a decade ago. You know the world isn't ending in 12 years or 30 years. So what are the real issues?
Well, they will come back with income equality, racial equality, climate change, and I forgot their other one.
But Miles, you're right. I acknowledge you're right. But how do you look at Bernie Sanders, that's been in elective office for four decades, the guy's a millionaire, and say he's the guy that's going to cause wealth distribution? How do you make that add up in your brain? How does Barbara Streisand get to be an advocate for wealth distribution when she's worth $600 or $700 million and doesn't distribute a penny of it? Well, how do they let this stuff?
But I mean, keep in mind, it kind of goes back to what we were saying in the first segment. A lot of Bernie supporters are, shall we say, younger, and so it goes back to what is their understanding of the term socialism? Because you'll find in a lot of these surveys that they conduct that everybody's all for free health care for everybody, and everybody's all for free income for everybody. But then when you enter in, but we're going to have to raise your taxes X percent, then they all back away from it.
Sure, then they hit the air brakes. Lud, what do you see with the young adults in college? Do you think Miles is correct when he says that they don't have a foundational understanding of socialism?
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't have a clue.
I mean, he's 30 now. He just turned 30.
That's a kid.
But he was 18 when I coached him.
In my world, he's a little boy. He's a kid.
He was a staunch Democrat, and he ran a tournament this past weekend. And I was talking to him before the tournament, trying to help him out, get some teams. And he says to me, it's not about political. And I'm like, wow, okay, that didn't sound right. And he goes, yeah, these taxes. I go, you know, when you become a business owner, your mind changes. He goes, oh, since I've started this thing, I've become I don't want to say staunch Republican, but I'm definitely a fiscal conservative. He goes, I don't care about the social issues, but fiscally, I'm 100% a Republican. This big taxes, all this. I said, oh, your mind changed when it became your money, didn't it?
Sure.
He goes, oh, yeah, big time.
But that goes back to Romney, and I'm not a big Romney fan. That's my understatement for the day. But he was right when he said 47% of the folks pay no federal tax.
But they do. They don't realize it. They do, because every time they buy something, they're paying a federal tax on it.
Listen, by the way, as a candidate, I know this for a fact, folks. As a candidate, that's a losing proposition.
Yes.
Because as soon as you say, this $19 toaster, when you extract all the layers of tax out of it, is a $3 toaster, their eyes glaze over, they don't believe you, they won't remember your name and your yesterday's news.
Yeah, but I blame all this, all of it.
I blame it on you, the educator.
Our party's done a crap poor job at messaging. Everybody assumes that a Republican is a xenophobe, anti-immigrant, all this crap. And when you talk to most people, especially my generation, I'm down, we are fiscal conservatives and maybe a little more social liberal. Meaning that we don't really get into the weeds on the gay marriage and the weed.
You just described a libertarian, a right-leaning libertarian, but a right-leaning libertarian.
And our messaging sucks because everybody assumes, as soon as they hear I'm a Republican, well, you must hate gay people. Really? My sister's gay.
I had a big conversation on Facebook with a lady the other day, She was essentially saying what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually talking about our state Republican Party and how it doesn't do anything to reach out to folks. Now, she was when she was talking, to be candid with you, she was talking about inner city Detroit, inner city Saginaw. Why isn't the Republican Party talking about liberty in those communities?
Yeah.
She's right about that.
Yeah.
But you'd be a rock star if you could figure out the formula to get that done in, to communicate to a few million people for a little bit of money.
No, you can't.
That's the
messaging is expensive.
But the
other side's doing it, so let's
But the other
look
side's already there.
Yeah.
That's who we're talking about is the inner city side. What do you think, Miles? An easy path or no?
No, but some of this goes back to Brenda's point about making it personal, showing how it actually translates into each and everybody's world.
I think that's really an important ingredient.
Eyes got not glazing over.
You're too late for you. Listen, folks, we've got to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear. Top shelf Rothko outerwear. First aid. And the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family-owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
Exercise is hard, so is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
You know the legal drinking age is 21. You may also know this law protects teens. Find out more at don'tserveteens.gov. And thanks for not providing alcohol to teens. A message from the We Don't Serve Teens program and the Federal Trade Commission.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And this is the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. You're a little tardy if you're just joining us, but you're not too late to find out what's up with the Enigma Report.
It is an Enigma Report, folks. Listen, I got to tell you, I said early in the show that I would get back to this. We can debate whether it's a big one or not. I'm reading an article from the MSN.com. They're actually cutting and pasting an article from the New York Times, one of Miles' favorite news sources. And the headline to it is, with most states under one party's control, America grows more divided. Miles Bauer, going to you just because it's the New York Times, do you buy that concept that the states themselves are becoming more of whatever they are, so more conservative or more liberal?
No, depending on the time frame that we're actually talking about. I mean,
story. I'm sorry.
Illinois, most of my lifetime, the legislature has been Democrat, but the governorship has wavered back and forth between. Well, there is no such thing as a Republican Party in the Illinois, in the state of Illinois, but it swings back and forth between Democrat and Democrat light. So I think that the article is trying to establish a basis that Trump is tearing the country apart. And so they're going to come up with a bunch of radical examples. I mean, they were describing the governor of the state of Illinois working at blinding speed. Well, he's done virtually nothing.
But he's done it at blinding speed.
And they were citing the abortion law down in Alabama.
Right.
Well, yeah, so that was controversial. But does that mean everything's coming apart at the seams? And so that was, I kind of started looking at the articles, like, what is the agenda here?
Listen, I agree with you. There is an agenda here. On the other hand, I think it's something for us to monitor because there are demographic shiftings taking place. The three of us have talked a lot over the last couple of years about Texas, with all the folks from California moving to Texas, and is it conservatives fleeing Texas or liberals just going wherever they want to go? I don't know that, but when I looked at the Alabama, the Missouri, some of the laws that are taking place down south as it relates to abortion, and then I compare it to what's going on in other states like New York where you can do infanticide and the governor gets a standing ovation for infanticide. Those are two completely different universes. The difference I have with the article, because I think you're spot on, I think they're trying to pin this on Trump. But I listen, folks, when I look back at my Facebook streaming where it gives me, or Facebook where daily you get the what was posted on your Facebook page 8 years, 9 years, 4 years, last year, and I see the comments that I've posted and that friends and colleagues have posted on my Facebook page over the life of my existence here on Facebook, these are all the same issues. All of them are the same. In fact, I just read one here recently on the air where if I asked out the date and just made it a conversation, most people, myself included, would think, jeepers, that's a fresh story. But it was from 2014.
Yeah, we'll have to.
I think they are dividing us by the state. I agree they're trying to pin it on Trump. It's been taking place long before that, and I think it's a long-term problem. Lud, what say you?
Yeah, this isn't new. The Democrats are so hyper-focused on Texas, they're literally shifting people there.
But listen, if they ever take Texas,
we're in trouble.
There'll be no more national Republican elections.
And they know that.
Right.
So that's why they're focused on Texas so bad. I mean, they pumped millions into Beto. They're pumping millions in there already for Biden. They are pushing for Texas so bad because they see it as an ability to win there.
Right.
Because we've seen the shift from California to Texas. Why? Because the economy's good. The economy didn't become good in Texas because California policies were there.
But listen, I talked about this on the air before. I spent almost a year in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was right before the real estate bubble bursted, and the prices for homes and rentals and apartments was crazy, and there were Californians everywhere. Their idea of cheap rent was like three times what the average American would consider paying rent for.
Yeah.
So what they did when they went to Nevada is, first off, they drove the real estate housing costs through the roof, and then they voted for anybody that would bring more tax and regulation, because that's the world they know.
Yeah.
They made Nevada an entirely different state than if you compare Nevada 2001 versus Nevada now. My goodness, what a difference that place is.
It's incredible that thinking doing the same thing over again will have a different result, the definition of insanity by Einstein. But we're seeing it daily, and they are trying to divide us by states. And I think it also brings up something like you've always said. I'm a Michigander if I'm an American. I never looked at it that way. I don't really consider myself a Hoosier or a Virginian.
I recently, I had somebody in social media angry with me on that point. I said, well, sit down with any of the founding fathers and ask them.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's, to me, I'm federalism. That's what it means to be a union of states.
Yep.
But listen, let me dovetail this. The national popular vote, folks, and there's folks on both sides of the aisle. Saul Alinsky, our former Michigan State Republican Party chair, he's a big national popular vote guy. I like him a lot. Him and I passionately disagree on that topic. But I think national popular vote plays exactly to this article. Because their folks are saying, well, how can we keep some of these things we're going to lose? Both sides of the aisle are saying, how can we keep things we're going to lose?
Well, I think,
well, if you lose them, you lost them.
Like you said, though, if they take Texas, the Electoral College part of voting is done. Then the MPB doesn't sound so bad. Because Trump even has said, if that was the way I was supposed to win, I would have campaigned way differently.
Miles, he just went from squishy to opportunist right before my eyes.
No, that's called strategic management. This ain't working no more. I got to figure out a different way. Like I said, that's what strategic management is.
What about
ways of wait for not work?
What about winning the hearts and the minds of the folks rather than flipping the system upside down and making us a direct French-style democracy with a socialistic engine? That's what our opposition is trying to
what
do.
What I'm saying is if that became this way we are becomes that Texas flips, and you know, you just said it, there's no more Republican national elections. You have to find an alternative.
Well, you got to convince those folks.
Well, there's either convincing.
Just like the lady said, you got to go. You got to go and talk to the people.
I'm not pushing for MPB, just so clear. But
sound like
all of a sudden now it's on the table. I think it's on the table at that point.
So you
got to find a way to win.
You're an MPB guy.
No. No.
First, first he went after the marijuana. Now he's after the MPV. Wowzers. I don't know. Listen,
are you a rhino?
No.
Are you like an Illinois Republican?
Yeah, no, I'm not a Fred Upton.
Which would be the done with that? He is kind of like an Illinois Republican. Fred Upton, one of our congressmen in the great state of Michigan. He's 6th congressional district. He votes with the Democrats a lot. And not on the little issues. He votes with the Democrats on the big issues, the monster issues. A lot of times you can go, okay, well, we don't agree on this policy change or how much revenue to put into the bridge that nobody needs. That's where you just have honest disagreement. He is far left on all of the major issues of our times. Not to rag on him, but he's one of them.
No, I'm not. And I do see that we are being divided by states. I think it's obvious.
Now, Miles, you don't agree with that, is that right?
Right.
Go move to Oklahoma.
And they assume you're a Republican just by living in Oklahoma.
Go ahead, Miles.
No, because, I mean, think about it. You guys have flipped your governorship in this last election.
Sure.
Right? And you and I mean, and going all the way back to Engler. So, I mean, you're a governorship has flipped back and forth between the two parties.
Yeah, but with that,
I don't know how your legislature's been.
The new redistricting rule is another thing they're trying to do to force us.
Check your
we will
headset.
See a decline in our legislative right
but listen, we historically
just like last time,
switched back and forth
the show.
From
you
party
know,
to party on the
show,
governorship.
And you could still talk.
But at least for the last almost last decade, during the grand tax deal, it was different. But we've had a hold of both chambers of the legislature now for several cycles.
Trying to change it.
Miles, we're down to 30 seconds. Any words of wisdom?
Lude, it's time to go home, dude.
I am home.
Brother. Brian Thomas, thank you very much. Mostly, folks, thank you very, very much. We appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you
you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory service.
I'm going to run our news.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Questions
and answers today.
So
in
we'll start by I want
Senate
a lot to give you
trial,
a lot of opportunity.
Chief Justice John Roberts.
Is there any way for the Senate to render a fully informed verdict in this case without hearing the testimony of Bolton, Mulvaney, and the other key eyewitnesses, or without seeing the relevant documentary evidence?
The answer from
really
trial manager Adam Schiff.
If you have any question about the president's motivation,
I double checked.
It makes it all the more essential to call the man.
But then I sent it down
directly with the president.
So
that man is former National Security Advisor John Bolton. He claims the president did seek to block military funds to Ukraine to force it to investigate the Bidens. The White House has sent him a letter trying to block publication of his new book. Fire crews are at the scene of a blaze in a 24-story building in Los Angeles. Reports say some people had to jump from the building. This is USA Radio News.
The widespread wildfires in Australia are having disastrous effects on Australian wildlife. The Morris Animal Foundation, a global leader in advancing animal health, says they'll allocate $1 million for scientific research grants that will fund major studies to help. Tiffany Grunert, president and CEO of Morris Animal Foundation.
The phone will ring.
Our role will be to research the impact of the fires on wildlife in support of restoration efforts, from land mammal population studies to the effects of the fire on marine wildlife downstream. There's a great deal of research to be conducted.
The ongoing wildfires have destroyed more than 12 million acres of land and impacted between 500 and 800 million animals, including koalas. Wayne Boardman, School of Animal and Veterinary Science at the University of Adelaide.
Now we only have 10,000 koalas left. Our colleagues, with the support of Morris Animal Foundation, will continue to investigate the health status of this important population following the bushfires.
To support the effort, go to morrisanimalfoundation.org.
President Trump has signed a new trade deal with Canada and Mexico. He says the older NAFTA deal had to go, and he did what other leaders couldn't do.
They sold out. But I'm not like those other politicians, I guess, in many ways. I keep my promises, and I'm fighting for the American worker.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House improved that trade deal.
What the president will be signing is quite different from what the president sent us.
The U.S. chartered plane evacuating 201 Americans from Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus outbreak began, continued on to Southern California after everybody on board passed a health screening test in Anchorage, Alaska. Dr. Ann Zink is Alaska's medical officer.
For many of us directly involved in this, it's become a moving and uplifting experience. The whole plane erupted into cheers when the crew welcomed them back to the United States.
So far, over 130 people have died in China. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Another person has died as a result of injuries suffered from last month's volcanic eruption in New Zealand. That brings the death toll to 21. The victim's identity was withheld pending notification of relatives. 47 people, including 38 cruise ship passengers, were on or near White Island, which is locally known as Wakari, when it erupted. Of the 21 deaths, two of the bodies were never recovered. A tour guide, Hayden Marshall Inman, and a 17-year-old Australian tourist, Winona Langford. Officials said earlier this month that 13 people were still hospitalized with injuries sustained in the eruption. Four of them are still in critical condition. They've been the subject of an international effort to obtain donations of human skin for treating their extensive burns they received from the volcano. Mega investor Warren Buffett is selling all of his newspaper assets. Here's USA's Chris Barnes.
Warren Buffett giving up on an industry that's been in decline in the digital age. Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, selling its 31 newspapers for $140 million, all of them going to Lee Enterprises. Buffett had called himself a newspaper addict when he began buying them in 1977, first purchasing the Buffalo News. However, drops in revenue as readers make the switch from paper to computer screens have hurt the industry. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And good afternoon, and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. I'm really excited about today's show. A little trepidatious because I've gotten used to having Connor taking care of all my needs and just letting me talk with my guest. I have somebody in studio who I very much recommend as a realtor. I met him many years ago, and he was so good and so thorough. You know, in my business, I meet realtors all the time. It's kind of who I network with. But this guy stuck out in my mind as somebody who was really a professional and really knew his brand and then did it such a way that it wasn't in your face, it was appealing, but he had the information, and I highly recommend him. So welcome.